morning, everybody. This is Robin Ayu from the Localization Fireside Chat, and welcome to another recording, another episode. Today, we are talking about education, learning another language, and learning Arabic language specifically in the Western world, and how this is possible using what we know and using the education system that we currently have, or new education outlet for learning Arabic, which is a very important language. We underestimate how the Arabic language is important in the world. 500 million people speak it. And learning the language sometimes can be tricky, especially if you're living in the Western world with no access to how you learn it. Today, I have the honor and the pleasure to be joined with Ibtissam Atiyi. Ibtissam is an educator which specialized in learning and teaching the Arabic language in the U.S. And Ibtissam, welcome to the channel. Welcome to the episode. Glad to have you with me. And thanks for taking the time to be with me this morning. I really appreciate it. No problem. And for us on this channel, it's all about languages. Sometimes we talk about it from a technology perspective. Sometimes we talk about it from a translation perspective. And sometimes we talk about it from learning another language perspective. The whole idea behind languages is to bring demographics together, to bring communities together. And, you know, the biggest problem in the world is misunderstanding. Generally, 99% of the world's problem is miscommunication because we don't understand each other. And it's well proven over the years and over the decades that the more we understand each other's culture, the more peace we create around the world. And this is a true fact. And it's not necessarily just related to the Arabic language. It doesn't matter what language it is. The more close connected we are, the better we are. So welcome to the channel. And for those who don't know you, and you know, I'd love to introduce you to our audience as well. So can you share a little bit about your journey, if you don't mind, Ibtissam? Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about your story. How did you end up doing what you do? And then we'll dive into a little bit of what you do. But just tell us a little bit about personally what who you are, what do you do, where you are. Thank you. So Ibtissam, thanks for that. I appreciate it. And wow, what a journey. And thanks for sharing it with me and the audience this morning. Thanks for sharing your story. one of the questions comes to mind for me and my audience is that, okay, you're teaching Arabic in Texas. It's a bit strange. So who wants to learn Arabic in Texas?
Same reaction. who's learning Arabic in the state of Texas? Well, yeah, I teach in public schools, and we have IB program, which is the International Baccalaureate. And one of the requirements, you have to study a language. And my district offers many, many, many languages. We offer Arabic, Chinese, Mandarin, French, Spanish, German, American Sign Language. We used to offer Hindi, but the program stopped this year. But you will be surprised. A lot of students are learning Arabic. And you're going to think that it's only for native speakers or like heritage speakers, you know, somebody who comes from an Arabic background. No, we have a lot of American. They would love to, and they are interested in learning languages, and especially Arabic. It opens a lot of opportunities for that, you know. And some students, they think about joining FBI and like working with the secret service. And, you know, Arabic is considered as critical language. So a lot of people and students are interested in doing government jobs. Mm-hmm. And Arabic is one of these languages that will definitely open and give you like more chances to get that job.
100%. I mean, we've noticed, everybody knows that over the years, nothing new here, that students or individuals who know more languages, they have more opportunities. And so a unilingual individual may have, they have opportunity, obviously, but multilingual professionals, students, however you want to classify them, they have better opportunities from a career perspective and from in anything, really, better communicators, etc., make them better human being. I believe that. Maybe people disagree with me more, but I do. I feel like when you are exposed to other languages, you understand other cultures, and it makes you a better human being all around. So much better. Now, when we talk about learning another language in your world and you're teaching, etc. So, you know, I read about in your bio something about craft and talk. Can you, you know, how does the two links? Are you teaching on behalf of yourself or on behalf of a company called Craft and Talk? Can you place it all together for us?
No, my main job is, of course, I'm a language teacher and I work with this amazing district. But I'm going to tell you something. When you are teaching a language and you have a different audience, you cannot like keep talking and explaining. I cannot teach the same way they taught me back home, you know? Everything changed, technology, like you need to use it as a tool in education. And you have to make your class more engaging and more fun. So I thought about this idea of creating Craft and Talk, which is basically, it fulfills two needs. The first need is older language teachers teaching in US, in Canada, in Europe, in South America. We are teaching Arabic as a second language, and sometimes it is as a third language because we have a diverse population. And when you are teaching, you cannot make your teaching traditional. You have to make it fun, engaging, and you have to host speakers from the Arabic countries. You know, if you are teaching French, you hire people or like you host people, some speakers from France. If you are teaching Arabic, you have to hire some native people to add that flavor to your class. I mean, students, they need to learn from other people. They need to hear other people. It's not only on YouTube or like movies, but you need to hire these speakers. But when you have a young generation and as audience, you cannot only hire a speaker and host them in your class and tell them come and talk and do some presentation like PowerPoint. Some public, like audience, will not be interested. You have to come up with an outcome at the end of your session. So I thought about Craft and Talk because it is crafting, it is doing arts, and talking in the target language at the same time. So the first need applies to American schools, international schools, teaching Arabic as second language or third language. You have to, we hire speakers from the Arabic countries to make the classes more engaging, more fun. And we don't only like do presentation about the Arab world. We teach arts, we teach music that relates to the Arabic culture. So this is the first need. The second is, of course, to help the Lebanese population after the explosion that happened in August 2020, unfortunately, and the inflation. We came up with this idea to help these Lebanese teachers and artists to have an extra income in order to afford to have like a decent life in Lebanon. So we are targeting two needs, the Lebanese community to help them a little bit, and the American population here, the schools, American schools, public schools, to make the classes more engaging, more fun, you know, and to hire these speakers to add that touch of Arabic culture in our classes.
So I want to make a mention here that we both come from Lebanon for the audience. For those who don't, I haven't mentioned that yet to many people, but Ibtissam and I come from, both of us from Lebanon by background. And I grew up in Beirut personally, and I left a long time ago when I was a young man. And so I never been back. But when Ibtissam talks about the explosion and the people that got affected and creating an opportunity to support people economically using remote workers or remote worker style and providing teaching opportunities for those individuals who are still in Lebanon, given the economic crisis that this country is going forward, this is very admirable. This is very noble. And I hope many people like take example of what Ibtissam is doing and create opportunities for those individual who cannot leave, who's still in the country, who's still looking for ways to survive and to find a way to live. So thanks for sharing that. I really appreciate it.
I always say, Robin, Lebanese are not lazy. They just...
Oh, far from being lazy.
Yes, they just need the opportunity to share their culture, you know, their language, their passion for life. I mean, Lebanon is known for that. Like, how many times we had these political situations and these wars, and we keep surviving and
keep rejuvenating.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. So we just need this opportunity.
Yeah, of course. Ibtissam, let's talk a little bit about StarTalk.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your involvement in StarTalk, and what is it first for the audience who don't know what StarTalk is and what's your involvement there?
So StarTalk is like a program funded by the states, of course, it's a grant fund program that targets critical languages. And they are funded by the National Security Agency, of course, and they target critical languages like Arabic, Chinese, Russian. This year, unfortunately, they stopped funding for Arabic. Their main for now is to offer in critical need languages, Chinese and Russian, but offer programs and a lot of opportunities for language learning available for teachers and for students. Mainly they do the programs during summer, but the last couple of years they changed and they target the program through the whole year. But it's an opportunity for students to learn the language, to get immersed. And when I used to teach a StarTalk program, it was mainly in during summer, and a lot of universities, they offer these programs. They are funded by the government, and I used to tell my students, it's the best opportunity to learn a language because it's a short time of, during a short time, it can be 3 weeks, 4 weeks maximum, and it's a full day. And you get really immersed in that language. You learn everything, and a lot of programs, they offer language credits too. This year, they stopped for Arabic, but a lot of schools are still offering this program. They are funded by a different source, which is QFI, Qatar Foundation sorry, international, and QFI is promoting the teaching of Arabic language in the States and Canada and in Europe. So it's an opportunity for students to really learn about the language, to get a credit, and also to get immersed in that culture.
Okay, so one of the things I noticed through your bio that you're a certified educator in Texas. And from that perspective, can you talk a little bit about your your training and your leadership and your consulting approach? We're trying to get an insight of your leadership style, I guess, in this question.
I'm certified in both languages, French and Arabic. And in 2019, I went back to college. I always had this dream to graduate from a university, from an American university. And I wanted my kids to attend my graduation. So that is one of my dreams, like my bucket list. And I graduated in 2019 with a master's in educational leadership from UT Arlington. And I got certified as a principal in the state of Texas. That was my main, it wasn't my main goal, but it was one of the goals. I wanted to achieve that. And I wanted to move to the administration in my schools. But then it changed a little bit, because when you want to become a leader is to serve the community, correct? And you can also serve the community in a different way. So by Craft and Talk, I'm serving my community, especially Lebanese community. And by the way, it doesn't have to be only Lebanese community. A lot of people who live in Lebanon and can speak Arabic, and they come from educational background, and they can teach instruments and Arabic calligraphy, they are welcome to join Craft and Talk. So it targets a lot of native speakers, not only Lebanese. So yeah, I wanted to become a leader in education. I thought maybe schools will give me that opportunity because we serve the largest Arabic community in the state of Texas. And then I said, no, maybe my goal is to help more the community where I am from. And that's how I switched from leader in the schools to become a leader through Craft and Talk and helping my community back home.
Excellent. Thanks for that. I appreciate it. And thanks for shedding light on that particular angle. Now, one of the things that we talk about when it comes to education is the curriculum itself, like when you're teaching, right? So you have a program, you have a season, a year an education year, I guess, a school year, whatever it is, a quarter basis or, you know, a yearly basis. Talk to me a little bit about the curriculum. Do you develop the curriculum, or is it the curriculum instituted by the state? How do you guys come up with a curriculum? I don't know. For our audience, I guess, they're curious.
So we have, as language teacher, I had, I'm going to talk about my experiences with different, like, universities and schools. Some schools we hire, they hire like a team of professional people to write the curriculum. But my district where I am now, and this is my eighth year, we as teachers, we do the curriculum together, you know, and it's the same curriculum that applies to all the languages taught in the district. You just have to switch it and change a little bit according to your audience. You know, some units you can teach in level one for beginners. Some units you have to teach it in level two. And it varies between languages, you know, like Mandarin and Arabic. They cannot be compared to French or Spanish. I mean, they are the easiest languages, French and Spanish, level one, or Arabic and Chinese. They come like in level four, and they are super hard to learn. So we have like, we switch a little bit the curriculum, but we write the curriculum. We come up, we follow the TEKS from the state of Texas, the Board of Education, the TAA, and then according to these TEKS, we develop our curriculum. But of course, we have like some units, and each teacher develops or like writes their own lesson plans, but we follow the curriculum of the district.
Excuse me, sorry about that. Sneeze do happen on this podcast, and they're part of the part and parcel of what I do here. Is like I tell people this is a live this how it doesn't get any more live than this. So
no, we just,
a lot of things can happen on this call.
<I know. laughs>
And it's the fall season here in Canada, and my allergies go through the roof during the
same
fall
in
season.
Texas, it's allergy season. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about ACTFL. First, congratulations on being elected the vice chair of ACTFL.
Yeah.
Tell us what ACTFL is and what is your responsibility.
So ACTFL stands for American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages, and it's an organization that offers services and resources to support language teachers and language professionals. And so we have like proficiency guidelines and level descriptors that all the language teachers follow in their teaching. Yeah, so I cannot like elaborate a lot about this, but I work with a group of the Arabic teachers, and we try to do webinars, a lot of webinars, and we try to do some meetings and try to help the community of Arabic teachers in the teaching in the States.
And so is it a national association, or is it just for the state of Texas?
It's national.
Oh, it's a national.
For the States, yes.
Oh, okay. And when you say webinars, so you're trying to educate and empower the educators, I guess,
yes,
the teachers, correct?
It depends. Like, we always come up with ideas, with weaknesses that teachers have. We go through surveys, you know, and we come up with a lot of ideas that can help them. We try to empower teachers. I am one of them, you know, and like come up with the new ideas, how to integrate AI, how to use technology. Like refer to their surveys and what they need to do in order to make their classes more engaging. You know,
yeah.
Try to empower, make them like more powerful in their class.
Yeah. Hey, Ibtissam. Okay. So what we've known so far, and you know what you've shared with me so far, is great. I would be amiss if I didn't ask the question of artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. Where does this sit in your mind? Like, what is, when you think artificial intelligence in the job that you're doing, how do you feel about that? Does it affect you personally? Does it affect your students? Does it affect what you do? In which way?
I mean, you have to use AI in your teaching. If you are scared of using it, that's it. You cannot be a teacher anymore, because you have to improve your teaching. And my advice, the best advice you can get, is to use it as a tool to help you, to empower you, because it's helping a lot of teachers. And we have a lot of new softwares that you can use and that you can implement in your classes. And it just facilitates the task for everyone. Now, I understand for students, it is limited, but for teachers, we have to use it as one of our main resources. You know, it helps a lot as a tool to build your lessons, to give you some ideas. A lot of time we lack of imagination, and you just use it to twist your lessons a little bit, to make it more engaging, more fun. We have to use AI like to spark this curiosity. You know, at some point you stop. You always have to improve yourself, and the best way is, of course, to go with technology.
Mm-hmm.
And use it as a tool to help you, not be scared of AI.
And what do you say to your students when it comes to AI?
I mean, we have to be smart when we use these tools. You cannot just copy-paste and apply everything you find online. Even for me, for Arabic, I mean, you put a prompt online on any, like, AI.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't copy and paste it, because I read it, I change, and I see like how I can apply it in my classes or in my work. You cannot only copy and paste and take and always have like to change whatever.
Sure.
You cannot
human in the middle, we call it. Like, you always have to be interacting with it.
Of course.
Now, from your perspective and where you are right now, so what's next for you?
What's next for me? I would love to stay in education forever. It's something, it's like my passion. I I like to always spark this curiosity for cultures, you know, and for traditions. I like to push my students to build empathy for others through languages. And I would love to keep bringing culture and diversity to my classroom. My main focus, of course, is on my languages and on my work, but also my main focus will be on growing Craft and Talk.
Mm-hmm.
Spreading the culture, the Arabic arts culture, make people aware of the change their ideas about all these stereotypes that we have about the Arabic culture, and keep spreading positivity. So my goal is to grow as a company and target not only USA or Canada and South America for schools. I want to go to Europe and Asia, and even if we teach Arabic over there, but I want to target the schools that teach Arabic as a second language.
Mm-hmm.
I want to try to build this engaging community, this engaging classroom everywhere by spreading culture and arts. It's the best way to make your classes really engaging and fun for your audience when you give your learner the time, the space, and the materials to for a creative expression.
Sure. Yeah. And you know, I'm glad that you came online today with me today and we're having this conversation. And I'm hoping that by the end of this conversation, by the time we publish this episode, and hopefully something good comes out of it for you. What is your hope and desire out of this conversation? What are you hoping to achieve out of this conversation?
I want to spread more positivity about Arabic language and Arabic culture. And I want everyone to know.
Yep.
We should not be afraid of opening up about learning a new language, you know, because that's the best way to communicate with people. When you learn a language, you learn their traditions, you learn the culture of that new country, you know, and I just want to tell all the teachers, do not be stuck in the traditional way of teaching. Do not be scared of hiring speakers, native speakers, to make your class more fun, more engaging. Studies have shown that when you do arts in your classes, when you use technology, when you give your students all these tools to help them express themselves, it lowers their stress, it improves their memory, it makes them feel more connected, you know, especially when they speak to other speakers from native the target language they are learning. So do not be afraid of implementing new strategies in your classroom. Stay away from books. Stay away from the traditional way, because it's our job and it's our priority to grow the language programs in the schools. And we cannot achieve that by following traditional ways.
Absolutely.
You have to make your classes absolutely engaging and fun, especially for this new generation.
Outside the box thinking for education, which is very important. For our last question for you, I guess on this one is, how do people get in touch with you regarding Craft and Talk? Is there you want us to publish any websites or any connection, any way that people can connect with you, I guess?
Yeah, of course. So I just want to say, Robin, that we work with the schools, with the universities, with language centers that offer Arabic. So that is, these are our main clients and connections, but we just launched some sessions open to the public.
Yeah.
And we started teaching Arabic calligraphy and Arabic arts, and all these sessions will be on Zoom. And because I got a lot of private messages asking, when can we learn about calligraphy? A lot of teachers, they are learning when they hire these guests and these artists, but they want to enjoy doing some arts, you know, by themselves. So we just launched our sessions and they are open to public. So we have a website, which is craft and talk, the letter N, not end, craftandtalk.com. And they can, of course, email me at info@craftandtalk. And we are also on social media. We have the Instagram account, Craft and Talk.
I will certainly tag you in the...
tag me.
Definitely. Yeah, I'll certainly tag you in the publication of this episode. And as you've seen from previous episode, obviously, I do, you know, the long publication, the long video or the long podcast. And then we'll do a few short videos. And for the audience who are not following us on our TikTok channel, we do now have a TikTok channel for the channel for the Localization Fireside Chat. And I'm publishing the short videos mm-hmm. of these conversations on our TikTok channel as well. So it's a pretty interesting one. Last week's episode with Henry Dotter, the founder of Prozed.com, which is the largest freelance website that started it all, I guess, of the freelance community in the language industry. So it was pretty interesting conversation. And for this particular conversation with Ibtisam, we'll do the same. There'll be a video published on our YouTube channel. There'll be an audio podcast published on your favorite podcast software or application that you use. And we'll also put a blog on our blog site resulting in this conversation. We'll do a summary of our conversation on our blog site as well. So there are plenty of content that you and your team, Ibtisam, you can share, you can like, you can share with your network as well. And for our audience, if you like this particular topic when we talk about education, please let us know. We can have a little bit more conversation regarding education on this channel, obviously. And for Ibtisam, I think one of the guests on this channel here before it was Karen Decker, current ALC president, who runs an education institute in Washington. She does run the International Institute, I guess, for studies in Washington. Maybe there is some cooperation there that can happen. Maybe I don't know. But those conversations always link up together, so that's pretty good.
Awesome.
Any last comments from your side before we adjourn?
Thank you, Robin, again for giving me the opportunity to share my story.
Anytime.
And the story of Craft and Talk. And
thanks so much for being a guest on the channel, Ibtisam. I'm realizing the time has come here. You said 5 to 9, so I want to make sure that we make sure that we. We finish on time. So I appreciate your time with me today. And I appreciate the conversation. You're welcome back to the channel anytime. If you have an update you want to share with the audience, you don't need an invitation. Mikasa Sukasa. It's your, consider it your own channel. Whatever you need, I'm here to support you, to help you out through everything I can to make sure that you guys are successful for what you're doing. Again, thanks again for being part of this conversation. And to the audience, thank you for listening in. If you're coming in on our podcast channel, and thanks for watching us on YouTube, and thanks for following us on all of our social media, and thanks for watching in, and thanks for listening in for this particular conversation with Ibtisam Atiyat. Ibtisam, thanks again, and I'll see you guys next time. I'm really happy and ecstatic that we've had the opportunity to do this today. And to our audience, I want to thank you so much for listening in. If you're coming in on our podcast channel, thanks for listening in. Thanks for taking us with you to the gym, to whatever, to your walks, and listening to the podcast. I hear a lot of people do that. And if you're coming in on YouTube, thanks for watching. I really appreciate it. And thanks for liking, commenting, and sharing the content that we're creating on this channel. To Henry and the team, congratulations on your 25th anniversary. And thank you again for being with me today. Don't hang up. Just when we finish the recording, we'll continue on with the side conversation for a few minutes.